How would you like to win the Essential Lutheran Library? Books like Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, Law and Gospel, the Lutheran Service Book, and the Lutheran Book of Prayer, and four more resources. All you have to do is share the Issues Etc. Reformation Week video on your Facebook page and send an email to contest@issuesetc.org. You'll find the video at issuesetc.org and click support. We'll announce the winner of the Essential Lutheran Library on Friday, October 28th.
All right, now we like to end every Friday, of course, by just visiting something our listeners had to say. Actually, something our listeners have written. Many of our listeners like to blog, and we like to read those blogs. Many of our listeners already have the Issues Etc. widget, which is just a little symbol, our little logo there at their blog, just to say that they're listeners and that we read their blog. You can get it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. It's at the bottom of the page. Put it at your blog if you write one, and then let us know. Talk back at issuesetc.org where your blog is and that you have the widget. We'll start reading it, and maybe we will pick your blog as one of the Issues Etc. blog picks of the week. And Jeff goes first.
My pick this week is Pastor Tom Chris of Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. He's got an excellent blog called Preach Our Blog. It's a blog post titled, Three Reactions to the Law. We've often talked about the three functions of or uses of the law, curb, mirror, and guide. I suppose this discussion would fall under function number two, the mirror, in terms of how the law shows us our sin or what we see in the mirror when we look. There are three ways of looking. When the law is preached or applied to the sinner and it does not go in one ear and out the other, we can observe three distinct products or reactions. First, self-righteous hypocrisy. Some hear the law and say, I have kept this, much like the rich young man in Mark 10 who questioned Jesus. But wanting to justify himself, he couldn't see that he actually broke the law. The law to him was a weak shadow of the true law. This was not because of a lack in the preacher, Jesus, but the hardness of his heart and the rationalization of his mind kept him from hearing the law's perfect demands. To be sure, some preachers lend this kind of law all on their own, however. A defanged, declawed law that doesn't kill but only roughs you up a bit before you dust yourself off and feel even more righteous. This reaction to the law is poisonous to faith because it obscures our need for a Savior, it covers our true depravity with a fig leaf of supposed good works, and it leaves the sinner in self-deception that he is right with God on his own merits. The second one, despair and unbelief. Truly sad is the sinner who sees his sin and perhaps even feels sorry for it, but sees no hope of remedy. If we look only within ourselves, it's true, we are doomed. We can't hope to repay God for our misdeeds. We can't hope to straighten up from here on out. We are blind, dead, and at war with our very Creator. Truly seeing behind the veneer of a self-righteous hypocrisy might lead one to utter despair. The conscience bears down on you like a boulder on your heart, such a worm, so despicable. The hopelessness of this despair reminds us of Judas, who felt sorry for his sin, but having no faith or hope in Christ, hanged himself. Despair and unbelief are worse, a kind of spiritual suicide. The third is contrition, which seeks Christ for forgiveness. The great blessing of the law, though, is that it drives us to despair, but in preparation for the hope and joy of the gospel, to die only to know the life he brings. Yes, without knowing our sin, how could we know our Savior? Without knowing the severity of our sin, how could we appreciate the depth of His forgiveness? Without a daily, hard, cold look in the mirror and a true view of the ugliness of our own sin, how can we daily know the forgiveness that flows from our baptism? This is the great blessing of the law, that it prepares us for the gospel. It is the diagnosis before the treatment, the plowing of the dead field before the seed is planted and flourishes. The law lowers us down into the grave and shovels on the dirt, only for the trumpet call of Christ to bust our tombs open and burst death open into life. Here our biblical example is King David, who called out for his sin with Bathsheba, confessed it, and looked to God for mercy. The words of Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In other words, a Christian confession. Thanks be to God for the law, holy and perfect, which shows us our sin, wretched and vile as it is. And thanks be to God for the gospel of Jesus Christ, whose holy and perfect life and death make us holy and perfect by grace through faith in Him. My pick for Issues Etc. blog of the week, Preacher Blog by Pastor Tom Christ.
Mine comes from a regular guest here on the program. In fact, our listeners, one of our listeners' favorites, Pastor Will Whedon, who always likes to post quotes. He has this one from John Gerhardt from his book we talked about recently on the program, On the Church. Gerhardt writes, We have departed neither from the Catholic faith nor the Church Catholic. Rather, we have retained the Catholic faith and have renounced the errors, idle madness, and superstitions that have been brought into the Church. In fact, instead of having departed from the faith of the Catholic Church, much rather we have not even departed from the faith of the Roman Church to the extent that it agrees with the old Catholic and apostolic faith. We admit that we have departed not from a few articles of the Roman faith, of the modern Roman faith, but this is not a defection from the old Catholic faith, but rather a return to the original Catholic faith that has been deformed in many ways in the Roman Church with new inventions, superstitions, and additions, and is a turning back to Christ as the only teacher of the faith. That's a great quote from Johann Gerhardt on the Church. By the way, we recently did an interview with Dr. Ben Mays on that very book. And if you go to the Listen on Demand page of our website, you'll find that entire interview on Johann Gerhardt on the Church. It's a great interview, and the book is pretty good, too. My pick for Blog of the Week, Whedon's blog, an old Lutheran quote of the day. We'll post my pick and Jeff's pick at our website tonight, issuesetc.org. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, October the 14th. We're going to kick it off, actually doing two big pieces of two big series. Dr. Matt Phillips, Associate Professor of History at Concordia University, Nebraska, will join us to pick up on part two of our four-part weekly series with him on the Great Schism of 1054 today. What really happened in the year 1054 so that historians will now mark it as the Great Schism or the breaking point of that schism? Then, a little later in the second hour, part four of our six-part weekly series on biblical chronology today. We've talked about the Old Testament. We've talked about the kings. We've talked about dating all of the Old Testament events. But they all are prelude. They are all prologue to the real event of history, the hinge event of all history. And this is so remarkable about the Christian faith. We can actually look back. Even with our flawed and failed calendars, we can look back and we could put our finger on the year when God did what he had been promising to do from the very fall of man after creation. We can point to the date of Christ's birth where God entered this world in human flesh in the person of his Son to redeem the world with his life laid down at the cross. We'll do that in the second hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned for hour two. In 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.